If I can top that or not. Very good. Description of our mothers and tokens of our appreciation with the M&Ms. You can't go wrong there either, can you? Sure can. So first of all, again, Happy Mother's Day, ladies. And as we are looking into our message this morning, I've entitled it, Your Maker is Your Heavenly Father. We will be looking in the Old Testament this morning, one that you maybe haven't thought about as a passage of scriptures for Mother's Day. And I'm always looking for different scriptures, those that's really unnoticed, but really are straight to the point to what we need to hear and know. Because as you read in the Old Testament, New Testament, the things that that people, mothers, all of us encountered happened back then. And how we can relate to these things and make application to it will help us to see how they got through it and how we can as well. So Isaiah chapter 54 is our text today. So if you will look with me, beginning with verse 1 in Isaiah again 54, and we will start with verse 1. And Isaiah says, "Shout for joy, O barren one, you who have borne no child. Break forth into joyful shouting and cry aloud, you who have not traveled. For the sons of the desolate, one will be more numerous than the sons of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Spare not, lengthen your cords, and strengthen your pegs. For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your descendants will possess nations and will resettle the desolate cities. Fear not, for you will not be put to shame. And do not feel humiliated, for you will not be disgraced. But you will forget the shame of your youth and the reproach of your widowhood. You will remember no more. For your husband is your maker." Now, that's what caught my eye when I was reading this passage of scripture. Your husband is your maker. Who's your maker? God, our Heavenly Father. So what comfort that can bring to you as ladies, mothers this morning, but to all of us, because we know He is our maker. Whose name is the Lord of hosts, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel, who is called the God of all the earth. That pretty well self-explanatory there, isn't it? For the Lord has called you like a wife forsaken and grieved in spirit, even like a wife of one's youth when she is rejected, says your God. For a brief moment, I forsook you. But with great compassion, I will gather you. In an outburst of anger, I hid my face from you for a moment. But with everlasting loving kindness, and boy, that loving kindness is a very important word in the Old Testament, Hebrew meaning hesed, H-E-S-S-E-D, hesed. The Israelites, I guess I've mentioned this before, knew what that word meant because they knew that God loved them and he was kind to them. He provided for them. And that's why you will see in the Old Testament that word many, many times, loving kindness. But with every loving kindness, I will have compassion on you, saith the Lord, your Redeemer. So, this morning after reading this passage and after meditating and reflecting on it all week, well, actually before then, trying to put into words what needs to be said this morning concerning Mother's Day, and that's why the title comes right out of the scriptures, your maker is your husband, which is the Heavenly Father. You know, our Mother's Day message, I'm going to approach this special day probably from a different angle than probably I have in the past, or maybe it's that you've heard before. The normal approach is to celebrate mothers and compliment, and we have done that this morning, and we will continue to do that for your many sacrifices, which is definitely warranted on your behalf. And today, I'm going to share some, I think, practical help from the scripture. I mean, I just read, and some other scripture I'll be sharing with you related to Mother's Day. Words that will bring hope to the single woman or single women or mothers who may have struggled. Now, traditionally, when we envision a mother, we imagine a woman who has had children, of course, and one who has come from a happy marriage relationship, and that's traditionally, how we see that. But that's not the reality of the world today in which we live, in which we encounter every day of our life and here. So I'm going to start by painting a picture of reality, just like Isaiah did here to the women and the people of that day. They were close to the Lord at one time, and then they strayed. And that's why some of the verses were kind of profound. I forsook you, but now I'm bringing you back. I'm renewing our relationship. I'm a husband to you, a Heavenly Father. So there are single women who are not in any kind of relationships today who desire very much to be married and have children. And then there are widows. And let me remind you that a widow doesn't have to be a senior citizen. They don't. And there are many young mothers out there who have lost their husband in some tragedy or in some way, who are suffering and grieving today even. And there are older widows who have had ideal marriage and raised a family who now have adult children themselves, but have recently lost their husband. Now, as a widow, whether you're young or old, these women are struggling with pain of loss and feeling helplessness and loneliness. That's the reality of life today. So the reality of motherhood is this fallen world in which we live is that there are women who desire to get married and start a family, and some cannot. And all of these women may be struggling emotionally, but in God's word, as I read just now, we find hope and we find encouragement. And we're going to see how the Lord comforts. The scripture is to comfort us, and it will comfort us. And as we listen and just behold what the scripture says to us, we will find that comfort. So we're going to see how the Lord comforts the married, the single, and the widow, like a loving husband or like a loving Heavenly Father. Now, first, let's look at the comfort of the unloved that we see in verses 1 through 4. God spoke to Isaiah in a mighty, mighty way, providing revelation or inspiration for him to pass on to those that were struggling in that day. So here in our passage through the prophet Isaiah, the Lord was speaking to Judah. He was speaking to the people of Judah, and the women and so forth was one of the key things here in our passage that he was referring to. The people of Judah had gone astray from the Lord by committing horrendous sins and forgetting their relationship with God. And we see that today in our society. Now, in reading the book of Hosea, we learn, and as I learned and read that this week, when the Israelites went astray from the Lord, this behavior was viewed by God as a spiritual infidelity or unfaithfulness. And we see all the prophets that remind the children of Israel, even in the New Testament, the apostles and the disciples who wrote the scriptures reminds us of how often we can go astray. But God loves us unconditionally anyway. So God's people were a spiritual, what I would say, sense, married to Him, because He's our Maker. And they had fulfillment, they had contentment, they had happiness, intimacy, and even fruitfulness while they were in their relationship with the Lord. They had all of that. But according to what Isaiah was saying here this morning, they kind of strayed away from that. They strayed away from the Lord. They had the joy and the security of a marriage relationship, but forsook the real love with immoral, worldly desires or the things that crept into their lives. When they left the Lord, they lost their intimacy, their closeness with the Lord. However, going back to verse 1 of Isaiah there, 54, if you want to follow along with me there, the Lord said in verse 1, sing. Sing, and then in verse 4, he says, do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. See, the Lord re-interacts with the people there through Isaiah. And then he goes on to say, for you will forget the shame of your youth and will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. Because he said, I'll change all of that. I will bring you back, and you will be my people again. We will have that relationship again. And you know, we all desire that relationship, that intimacy with the Lord, because He is our Maker. He is the one that made us. See, the people had just been told that their descendants, who would be few and far between, and now look at this scripture, would be the ones who have husbands and multiply. So, what possible reason in this scripture here did the women of Judah have the joy when many themselves could not marry or were left alone without husbands, and some of them was as widows. Well, going to Joel, chapter 1, verse 8, we read, "Grieve like a young woman dressed in sackcloth, mourning for the husband of your youth." Now, being single or widowed can be a painful, and all of you know this, sorrowful experiences that you've all gone through. But here the Lord told the women of Judah to rejoice. See, that's the outcome. Through the pain and sufferings that we often go through in life, painting this description of the things of reality in our world today, then the Lord says, "But rejoice, because I've got you. You are with me. I have not forsaken you." But see, there are consequences in life because of sin and the things of this world. But when we know the Lord will always take us and wrap his loving arms around us and give us that comfort and that encouragement, then we can rejoice. Amen? We can rejoice. So let's look at verse 5 and see if we can find out why they should rejoice. Now, we saw through verses 1 through 4 the reasons why they wasn't rejoicing, but now the Lord says rejoice. Let's look at verse 5. The Lord is your husband. Verse 5. Here in verse 5, the Lord said, "Take comfort, O Judah, for you have a husband. You are not alone. You have me," the Lord says. "I am your heavenly Father. I am your maker. Therefore, I am like a husband to you. And you are indeed loved." Boy, can't get any better than that, can it? Knowing that God loves us that much. See, the Lord declared to his people in Hosea chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. Let's look at 19. "I will make you my wife forever, showing you righteousness and justice, unfailing love and compassion." Now that's the Lord speaking through Hosea there. After all the things that they encountered, the things that they neglected, separating their relationship with God, he said, "I've still got you. I still love you." And then in verse 20, he goes on to say, "I will be faithful to you and make you mine, and you will finally know me as the Lord." You see, that what an encouragement that is to us. You know, when I read scriptures like this and we go through things in our life that's unexplainable, and we can't explain it sometimes. They happen. But we know that we can always turn to the Lord, and we can read scriptures like this that bring us right back where we need to be to be dependent upon him. And that's what Hosea and Joel and Isaiah is painting, this beautiful picture of God's love and kindness. The love he has for every one of us, the world itself, and the kindness he shows by providing everything that we need. So when the Lord said, "You will know me as the Lord," that word "know" in Hebrew, of course, it might not concern you as much knowing the Hebrew and Greek and all that things, but it has a special meaning. When you look at the text in which we're reading, so we can better understand of God's love. Because he is saying, that word, yada, That yada, meaning to know someone intimately. Yada. You know, somebody says they're speaking a lot of words, you hear yada, 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 yada. But this word is singled out as yada. And again, to know someone intimately, to know someone so close as our Heavenly Father, and knowing the comfort that we can find in our life through all the things that we encounter. Therefore, the people of Judah were supposed to have an intimate and a marriage-like relationship with the Lord. That's what God was wanting the people to understand and know, that He had them and He desired that relationship to them. It's like when we have the Lord's Supper. And Jesus in Luke, Matthew, and John, all those scriptures where He was meeting with the disciples, and He would say, I desired this moment with you. I desire this relationship with you, this closeness. You see, that's where that loving kindness comes in. It's God is loving and He is kind. And therefore, the people of Judah, they knew this, okay? So God is a source of the most intimate love of all. We love God because He first loved us, right? He did. So our relationship with God and His Son should be first and foremost in our lives. When it is, we know what that joy is. So we are commanded to love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. And that's Matthew 27:37. And then, to put another perspective on just that one scripture, in Matthew 6:33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And see, that's what Isaiah was telling the people. You need to come back to the Lord. You need to seek Him first. And all these other things you've been looking for is not going to satisfy you. So seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all of these other things that you need, God will provide those in your life. And He will. He'll provide that happiness and that joy that maybe something has taken away temporarily. It's not always permanent. But when our relationship is intact, that intimacy with the Lord and our relationship with Him, then we find that joy. We find that joy that we need. Then the Israelites, who were being held captive in Assyria, needed to focus on the Lord instead of the selfish desires of their hearts, which is what caused them to fall away. The circumstances in their life caused them to fall away from the Lord because they took their eyes off of God and they looked at the circumstances and situation they were in, and therefore they forsake their Lord, their Creator. So because they didn't focus on the Lord, He took away all the things they desired and left them with only one thing. And that one thing that God left them was the best thing for them. That was Himself. I take all these other things. You don't need it. You have Me. I'm your Maker. I'm your husband. I'm your Heavenly Father. That's what the message He was sending to them through Isaiah. Isaiah was such a wonderful prophet, obedient in his ways. And you know, those prophets didn't have an easy way, did they? They didn't have it easy at all. Look at Moses. All of the stuff he went through with millions of Jews' disobedience and complaining all the time. So, therefore, nothing in life is in place until our relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, is in place. Now, Let's look at our final few verses here, verse 6 through 8, which fall into the arms of love. Falling into the arms of love. And we see here in verses 6 through 8, expresses God's love in this exact same way, urging us to fall into His arms. See, that's the application of this scripture for us today. Just like He was pulling them into His arms, He pulls us in as well. In verse 8, it says, "With little anger, I hid my face from you for a moment." Now, for a moment for us, that can feel like eternity, can't it? When we're encountering certain situations or circumstances in our life, we're going through things. As a single lady or a widow or it can be anyone in our lives, anyone. "But with little anger, I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness," and that's that word kindness again. Boy, you see that. You see that all through the scriptures. "I will have mercy on you, says the Lord," because God says, "I am your Redeemer. I will redeem you. I will bring you back into my fold." See, this is a conditional statement. And as we see from the word, and you see that word "but" in there, the hiding of God's face doesn't have a permanent if we will just submit ourselves to Him. It's only temporarily until we wake up, like the prodigal son, he came to his senses and he came back home. If we will give our lives over to Him and renew our relationship with the Lord, then He will have mercy on us. That's a promise. And anyone who has never had a relationship with the Lord, He can and will be our Redeemer, according to verse 8. Now, in conclusion this morning, oh, there's so much I could share with these 8 verses here. There's so much here that we could just grasp this morning. But what we have seen from this passage is that Judah's desire for the things of the world caused them, the people, to grow lax with their relationship with the Lord. And Judah's relationship with God was a marriage-like relationship. However, the people filled their lives with other things that seemed more important at that time. But then realizing that none of that stuff was good at all, realize that God was the answer. He's always the answer. And true beauty is found in real, genuine, and everlasting God. And that everlasting God is God's love. It's inseparable. So He knows the desires of our heart, doesn't He? God knows that. According to Psalms 37:4, He knows the desires of our hearts. And His desire is for us to love Him as He loves us and gave Himself for us. He knows what's truly best for us, always has, because He's our Maker. Who knows us better than God Himself, our Heavenly Father? Who knows us better? When we focus on Him, then He will take care not only of our desires, but our needs. And going back to that Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and my righteousness, and all the other things, the desires and the needs in your life will be met." That's scripture, amen? That is scripture. And it's a big promise, and the only promise that we can absolutely take hold of and believe, and it will be fulfilled. Let us pray. Our Father God, thank you for the message of this day. And how would we know it until we look into your scriptures, the application that we can apply in our own lives today? When we read it and we study it, and with the help of your Holy Spirit, which you promised and did come, intercedes for us and gives us the insights and understanding exactly what Jesus spoke when he was here on this earth. He told the disciples, I will teach you all, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things that I have taught you, and all the things you've experienced. You will be reminded of those things. And that's the same for us as well. Your word is alive. It speaks to our hearts. It has feet and it runs after us. And it has arms and it takes hold of us. Wraps arms around us and comforts us and provides that peace when we need it the most. May our relationship with you be one of intimacy and, Lord, of one that we know that we are loved, because you are our maker. You know everything that we need before we even ask, and you're willing to provide it within your will. And Lord, we thank you for that. Whatever the decisions are here today, we thank you for the mothers here today and those listening and those who have been in our lives before, Lord, the godly mothers. We thank you for them. An impact and everlasting inspiration that they'll always have in our lives. Lord, thank you, Lord, for providing everything that we need in this life. And may we always be true to you with our lives as we continue to serve you, as you teach us and provide for us the spiritual gifts. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. We're going to be standing and singing Sweet Hour of Prayer. That song. I'll be here at the front. If anyone would like to come up and pray at the altar, you feel free to do that, or I'll pray with you either way.